The original title of this sermon is Characters to Christmas, Zechariah. But I had re-entitled it A Wife's Dream. And if you know the story of Zechariah, you would understand it. But several years ago, there was a movie called Castaway, where Tom Hanks was taking I think he was a UPS airline pilot or something of the sort. He was going to be flying a bunch of probably gifts, and he crashed and was on a deserted island. And all the stuff, a lot of the things that went down with the plane had washed ashore. And he was lonely and got mad one time in the scene, and he was trying to carve something out with some wood or make something or light a fire, and he slipped, he cut his hand. He got mad, and he picked up this box with a ball in it and threw it and left his handprint, bloody handprint on it. And then later on, not too long after that scene, he takes a stick and he makes a face and puts Wilson, that's the name of the character, on a piece of wood, and he sits there as Tom Hanks' character's companion for the duration of the movie. Not one time when Tom Hanks spoke to Wilson did Wilson ever speak back. He was silent the whole time. When we look in Scripture at Micah in the Old Testament, we come to the last book of the Bible. The last book ever written in the Bible is the book of Nehemiah. It's not at the end, it's further up, but it was the last book ever written. Micah, from Micah to Matthew, there's over 400 years where not one prophet is writing anymore. God has told us many things throughout all the prophets, whether it be Daniel, Zechariah, Malachi, Micah. He's told us many things about things that will happen in the future. Daniel wrote a lot about it. He's given us enough hints about what the Christ would be like, where he had come from, and all those things. And all of a sudden, after Micah, 400 years goes by. And then even Matthew wasn't written till about 50 to 60 AD, about 27 to 30 years after the time Jesus was sent and went to his Father. So even though Matthew's writing about something that happened right around 1 AD, it wasn't written until about 50 or 60 AD, several 50 years after it happened. So God is silent, if you will. He's not having a new prophet come along in that 400 years and write something else, and write something else, and write something else. So all of a sudden, when God starts to speak again, he speaks long before Matthew wrote it down. But before we start, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this story we're about to look at and for what comes after it and what it means to us today. I just pray, Lord, for you to speak through me. Help us, Lord, to take your word home with us in our hearts and to use it to glorify you every day in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So from the time Malachi wrote in the Old Testament to Matthew is about 400 years, and there seemed to be silence. Not that God wasn't speaking personally to maybe other people or working in people's lives, but he wasn't having people write new books. And all of a sudden, God finally speaks again, and the scene opens up on King Herod. The scene, when God's finally going to speak again, and Matthew's going to start writing, even though what he wrote was 50 to 60 years after when it happened, the scene opens up on a dictator. Not some nice king, not some storyline that's positive as far as the king is concerned. He was a dictator. I'm going to read you a few things about Herod. His paranoia knew no bounds. Because of his paranoia, he killed 6 of his own family members, including his favorite and beloved wife, Miriam, and 3 of his sons, even the Notorious bloodthirsty Rome was shocked by his brutality. Caesar Augustus scoffed, "It's better to be Herod's pig than his son." This is who the book of Matthew opens up on. I'm sorry, the book of Luke. Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Who does this remind you of? Anybody? Dan mouthed it quietly, Abraham and Sarah. I saw his mouth move. Yes, it reminds us a lot of that. And I'm not advancing for you. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Verse 8 goes on to say, "Now while he was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the customs of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." He was from the line of Abijah. His wife was from the line of Aaron. Abijah was, there was 24 sects, if you will, that went, the divisions that came out of Aaron. And he belonged to the one of Abijah. So both of them came from the line of Aaron, the priestly tribe. And the Bible makes this a point to tell us they were both faithful. And then it goes on to tell us that Zechariah was chosen by lot. And the Bible doesn't tell us how that happened. I don't know if they rolled the dice or they took a bunch of straws, and the short straw one or the long straw one. But somehow or another, Zechariah was chosen by lot to go into the temple to burn incense. And when he was in there, all of a sudden an angel appears to him. Now, we're going to find out that some of the information he finds out later would have been nice to know when the angel first appeared. So we're going to pick up with Luke chapter 1, verse 12. "And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John.'" We don't know what exactly Zechariah prayed in temple, because we know from the book of Daniel and other books that the people of Israel had been given a time frame of when the Christ was going to come, when he was going to die at least. So they had to know, if they studied any of the book of Daniel, they had to be living close to that time, because somewhere in the next 30 years or so, this Christ, this Messiah, is going to have to be cut off. He's going to have to, whatever that meant when they looked at the book of Daniel and thought, "Oh man, look at this, Daniel chapter 9. This is going to happen. Man, that's got to be, he's got to be born soon. There's going to have to be a Messiah soon." Who knows what he was praying in that temple? "Lord God, please send your Messiah soon. And Lord, you know my wife and I have been wanting to have a child. Lord, could you please let that happen too?" We don't know what he was praying, but he was praying. And the angel says, "God's heard your prayer. You're going to have a son. You're going to call his name John." Not Zechariah, not Malachi, not some other I name. John. It doesn't even seem to fit with all the other names that people had in the Old Testament when you look through the names. All these Ayahs, and all of a sudden we're going to have an An instead of an Ayah. He goes on to say, in verse 14, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and powers of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord's people. Make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Sorry about that. Now here's where we find out that there would have been some information Zechariah probably would have wanted to know until at this point in time. Verse 18 tells us, actually I didn't put 18 on here, did I? Sorry about that. No 18 for you. And Zechariah said to the angel, these are going to be brutal words for Zechariah. How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. Sounds a lot like Abraham, doesn't it? Except in Abraham and Sarah's situation, Abraham believed God, but Sarah laughed. And because of that, Sarah laughing and not believing it, she kind of got in trouble there too. But here he questions the angel. Now, I'm kind of thinking he had to know it was an angel, but he didn't know who the angel was. This would be good information to know. How can this be? I'm advanced. My wife and I are both advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring to you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words. Do you not think that when Gabriel first showed up and would have said, hey, I'm Gabriel, that Zechariah might have not asked the question he asked? He might not have said, how can this be? I'm old, so is my wife. It would have been good information to know you're talking to Gabriel in the first place. Because Zechariah was a priest. He had to read the book of Daniel. He had to know who Gabriel was. His name is recorded in the book of Daniel, in other places in Scripture. But he had no idea that he was speaking to Gabriel. And the Bible goes on to tell us in verse 21. Oh. Because the angel told him, you're going to be silent and not able to speak. That is a wife's dream. Maybe. It might be my wife's dream once in a while. I wish we could shut up and be quiet. You women are kind of smirking out there. And I know you're thinking, yeah, it would be nice once in a while to have my man be a little quiet and not open his mouth. Verse 21 goes on to tell us, and the people were waiting for Zechariah. People were outside also praying. Zechariah's in there taking his time, doing whatever he's doing, talking to the angel. And evidently it was taking longer, because it says here, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. That's why I wanted the thing. This is the first Pictionary game ever. And I don't think Zechariah ever got any royalties from it. He's probably out in the dirt drawing a pregnant woman and pointing at her stomach. Sounds like maybe, oh, baby, oh. And he's somehow through his giving signs and stuff, he's able to tell them or get them to see that I can't talk. I talked to an angel. I don't know how he conveyed it, how much they knew when he left, but here he was trying to explain to him why he couldn't talk. And then the Bible doesn't tell us any more about that, but it goes on to say in verse 23, and when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. Now you would have thought that I don't know how much more time had to go before his time of service had ended, a couple more days, another week, a month. But I think I would have figured out a way to put in the sand, hey, I got to go, see you later, got to go home, and get the show on the road so he could have this child that him and his wife have been waiting on. But it tells us, when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us any of this stuff, how We just know he went home. In verse 24 and 25, pick up the story. And these days after his wife conceived, for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take my reproach, to take away my reproach among people. We know from other people that couldn't have children, like Hannah, who had Samuel, and Eli thought she was drunk. We know from other stories that people look down on other people. God hasn't blessed you like he's blessed me. I have 11 children. You have none. And sometimes with women, I think some women in the Bible could be a little brutal, making another woman feel bad because she can't have children. So she had to be looked down upon. She had to have a reproach, as she says, talks about. Oh, did you want to emphasize that or something? And during this time in the Bible, all of a sudden, we're not going to jump there with it. The Bible jumps to Mary and everything that's going on in her life at the time and how she's told about her cousin Elizabeth being with child. She's 6 months pregnant already. And we know from Scripture that Mary goes to visit her, stays with her almost up to the time of the birth of John. So by the time she goes home, she's probably 5 months to 6 months pregnant. And, of course, Jesus is going to be born about 6 months after John was born. And she visits her cousin Elizabeth. And the Bible picks back up in the story. Now keep in mind, Zechariah hasn't spoken a word. John's about ready to be born. It's been 9 months, plus whatever time there was that he was still doing his service before he went back home again. So over 9 months now, Zechariah has not spoken a syllable. We're going to pick up the story with verse 57. Oh, this is where I stopped putting the slides together. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 57. We're going to continue from there. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. So it's been 9 months, 8 days, and whatever time Zechariah was still doing. And John, he still hasn't uttered a syllable. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the children, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. Now we know from the story earlier, Zechariah was told his name was going to be John. And somehow or another, either she knew this because he told her, with Pictionary, she knew this, or God divinely told her his name would be called John. And this is where the story gets a little interesting. And they said to her, this kind of reminds me of, what did you tell me you told some of the family Isabella's name was? Prometheus. So that would be funny. I'm sorry. Funny that to make your family believe that. And they're probably sitting there thinking, what in the world would you call a baby Prometheus for? So here they're going to call the baby John, and the family's thinking, John. There's not a John in our family. Why would you call him John? What about Uncle Zeus or Uncle Zach or Uncle Malachi or Uncle whatever? John. The mother said he should be called John. And they didn't want to accept that. They just didn't. Prometheus? You can't name him Prometheus. Somebody talked some sense into it. So they said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to say. You know, he's probably getting out his chisel and hammer and chiseling something away. They ask for a writing tablet. It says here, they ask him, what do you think? Come on, talk some sense into your wife. They gave him a writing tablet, and he wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered. Now, here's why it's very important what his name was. Zechariah. The name Zechariah means the Lord has remembered. It's not all, this isn't about Zechariah and his wife having a child. This is about God remembering through Zechariah his promise to set up a Christ, to set up the Messiah, that he was coming. God has remembered what he told Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those different prophets who he told this message to, Daniel and Zechariah and Isaiah and many others. He remembered. And now he's about ready to put into the world John the Baptist, who is going to be the forerunner, according to Isaiah, before the Christ comes on the scene. You couldn't name John Zechariah. That's just another name that means God has remembered. God doesn't need to remember anymore. God remembered when he allowed Zechariah and his wife to have a son, and they named him John, just like the angel told them they would. Verse 64 goes on to say, "And immediately his mouth was open, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke blessing God. And fear came upon all their neighbors. And all these things were taken about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, 'What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him.'" When Zechariah wrote for the people how his name would be John, he could finally speak. He took the very thing that the angel told him, and then he questioned the angel, "How could I possibly know this is true?" Because he wouldn't believe it. When he finally took the name that the angel told him to be called, and he said, "His name is John," all of a sudden he could speak. Over 9 months and 8 days, he could not speak. And this is what he said: "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant." God remembered. That's what Zechariah's name meant. He remembered what? His holy covenant. "The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." God, thank you for remembering. Thank you for remembering your promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank you, Lord, for letting this son of mine be born, because he's going to foreshadow and come before the Messiah, who's going to be our greatest hope. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God was silent, but when John was finally born, and Matthew later penned in 50 to 60 AD, the words of the book of Matthew, and Luke penned the words of the book of Luke and John and so on, these were the words spoken. These are the things that happened before they were ever written, 50 to 60 years before they were ever written. Even though God was silent and not sending new prophets and not writing new books for the Old Testament, God finally spoke. And a huge promise starts coming in. And the next few weeks, I'm sure we're going to be talking about Mary and Joseph and Jesus' birth and the hope that we have. But this child will be born. John will be the forerunner to him and announce him as the Christ. Wilson never said a word. Have you watched that movie, guys, you young people? You weren't even born when that movie came out. Later on, Tom Hanks built himself a raft. He was out on the raft with Wilson, and he was delirious and he had been without food and all sorts of other sustenance for a while. He wasn't quite himself. And Wilson, in a storm, falls off the raft and is floating out into the ocean. And Tom Hanks has got a rope tied to him. And he's trying to swim to get Wilson. Wilson! He's calling out Wilson. Like Wilson ever did anything for him. But he became so attached to Wilson. He's trying to save Wilson. But he couldn't save him. Yet Wilson never said a word or spoke to him. But we do have a God that speaks to us. I think he tries to speak to us all the times in our hearts, and letting us know what we should be doing. And because he does speak to us, and he's not like Wilson, and because he has spoken to us through his son Jesus, we should be trying to do the things that would help God. And when I say help God, God doesn't really need our help. He's God. But when we do the things that God has asked us to do because he has spoken, we try to help save other people and bring them to know this Jesus this whole season's about. After this story, there was hope. People were thinking, wow, this something great is about to happen. And we're going to close with the song, number 92. There's a song in the air. Something great is about to happen in that world at that time. And we're about to celebrate something great also. Please stand. There's a song in the air.